All right, since the kiddos are now going and doing their thing, let us dive into our message today, which is week number two of our Jonah series. If you want to turn your Bibles to chapter 3, Jonah chapter 3, that is where we'll be at for this service, Jonah chapter 3. But let us take a quick moment and kind of recap about last week and kind of where we're at with Jonah. Jonah last week, we walked through the chapters 1 and 2, and talked a little bit about the runaway Jonah. Now, Jonah is a unique story, as we talked about last week, and we all kind of have an idea of how Jonah relates to our life. We also have an idea of how Jonah got swallowed by a fish, and that's always a cool story to tell our kids. But there's more to it. See, the runaway Jonah is so much more than just a cool story that we tell our kids. Some of the reality is this. He got a call, not by cell phone. I know some of our youth were like, wow, did he get a cell phone? No, it was a call from God. And it can only come from God in its own unique, special way. And then he also ran from God's presence, because we all know we can do that, right? We all know we have the ability just to pick up and run from God's presence. No, just like Jonah found out, you can't run from God's presence. That is a reality. And then Jonah got swallowed up by a big old fish. Now, again, we can debate all day on what kind of fish that was and what it wasn't, what it was, or maybe it was, or what it wasn't, blah, 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 blah. But the reality is it's a huge fish summoned by God to swallow up Jonah. And then at the end of that sermon, we fell and seen Jonah fall to his knees in compliance. Compliance with God's call on his heart to do what he's asked them to do. Now that is an interesting place to be. See, not just compliant to doing what's best for him, but compliant to doing what's best for God and what God has called him to do. He is now ready to do the Lord's work. And that is kind of where we start off today. And we'll be reading chapter 3 all the way through 4, verse 3. We're going to read it all up front today and just kind of walk through it from there. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh, and preach the message that I tell you. So Jonah got up and went to Nineveh, according to the Lord's command. Now Nineveh was an extremely large city, a three-day walk. Jonah set out on the first day of his walk in the city and proclaimed, in 40 days Nineveh will be overthrown. The men of Nineveh believed in God, and they proclaimed a fast and dressed in sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least. When word reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne, took off his royal robe, put on sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he issued a decree to Nineveh. By the order of the king and his nobles, no man or beast, herd or flock is to taste anything at all. They must not eat or drink water. Furthermore, both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and everyone must call out earnestly to God. Each must turn from his evil ways and from the violence he is doing. Who knows? God may turn and relent. He may turn from his burning anger so that we will not perish. Then God saw their actions, that they had turned from their evil ways. So God relented from this disaster, and he had threatened to do to them. And he did not do it. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious. He prayed to the Lord, "Please, Lord, isn't this what I said while I was still in my own country? That's why I fled towards Tarshish in the first place. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to become angry, rich in faithful love, and one who relents from sending disaster. And now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than live." And that is where we are at today for our message. An interesting section of scripture when you hear this message of Jonah. So your first fill in the blank, if you are a fill in the blank person, is Jonah's call. Take two. So it's kind of like we're in the movies here. Jonah's call takes two because he already got the call of what it meant to do what God told him to do. Already called him. Already told him, do this. And Jonah fled and got swallowed up by a fish and vomited out on the beach. And then finally said, yes, okay. If you just repeat what you want me to do, I might be able to do it this time. So the second call comes, take two, and Jonah hears the message from the Lord. And Jonah is being told very specifically what to do. To go to the Ninevites, to preach to them, tell them what's about to happen. Now, interestingly enough, we can see the reflection of our nowadays ministry, of what it means to be a Christian in that, of what it means to go and tell everybody about Jesus Christ, tell them about the Lord, and tell them what's coming. Now, I've had several conversations over the last 2 weeks about the idea of hellfire and brimstone and maybe how it doesn't have a place in the church today. Or does it? Because the reality is, unless people know where they're going, they have no interest in turning of their ways. The idea of hellfire and brimstone is not to scare you, although it is scary, to know that you're going to hell for eternal damnation for eternity. Kind of a scary message. So there's good possibility there's not a place in the church, not necessarily our church, but a church may not have a place for that because we have a lot of snowflakes in the world. Not snow like Michigan should have right now, but people who are more interested in a participation trophy than actually hearing the word and truth of what God has for them. See, we have too many people in our world, in our nation, in our country that is worried about hearing what they want to hear, not actually what needs to be told. You see, you hear this message from God talking to Nineveh clearly, 40 days and wrath. You hear the reality from the church today that needs to be preached from every pulpit we have. Turn from your evil ways, turn from your gossip, turn from your slander, turn from your chaos to the Lord. And people think that's offensive or somehow bully pulpiting. But the reality is that's what we are to do. We're all Ninevites in some way, aren't we? I tell you, we have a city, a town, a community full of Ninevites who needs to hear the message about what it means to turn to the Lord. And I dare say that we have a church, the church, as a nation, who needs to hear the message of turning to the Lord and turning of your evil ways. Again, I'm not talking about Banner specifically. I'm talking about the church, capital T, capital C. That we have a church that has decided to not speak the truth and cave into the moral ways of our communities. But when he told Jonah, get up, go to the great city of Nineveh, and preach the message I tell you, he did not say go to preach the message that, you know, you feel like today. You know, if it makes you feel good, if it makes your heart feel okay, if it makes your mind feel okay that you preach it that day, then it's all right. Preach that message. God said, preach my message. And he tells it to us today, too. Any preacher that stands before a pulpit and says, you know, I have a message for you today, is lying to you from the get-go. Because the Lord speaks through his pastors by the word of the Lord. As you know, here we preach from the Bible. No other way will do. So when you take this take two, Jonah's being called again, go and do this. What is Jonah going to do this time? Is he going to go? Anticipation's on our hearts and our minds when we think about, is he going to go this time? Is he going to listen to God? Is he going to heed God? Or is he going to be thrown in the sea again and a big fish swallow him up again? Rinse and repeat all over again, because don't we all fall in that way? Don't Ninevites fall in that way, that where we fall in our own traps over and over and over again? Maybe I'm preaching too harshly today, and I apologize for that. But the Lord impressed upon my heart for this series to preach, not necessarily teach. If you want to hear me teach, come to my Sunday school. It's a good time. But preaching today is an opportunity for us to understand what it means to preach and teach to the Ninevites of our nation, Ninevites of our community, the Ninevites of our churches, according to the Lord's command. He is called to preach. See, that call is serious. That call is intentional. That call is purposeful. That call is calling you as his people to do it. Now, this message is very specific to Jonah, and I don't want to try to take too much out of context here. And that's why I said we can easily see how it translates into New Testament. If we were bringing a bunch of New Testament scriptures in to prove my theory, we could do that. I don't need to do that. As good Christian men and women, we understand that our purpose is to go and preach the gospel. And Jonah is being called to do that. Let's go ahead and move on to our second fill in the blank, which is Jonah preached. So he listens to the call. He hears God say, I'm going to go do this. Okay, yes, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go preach what you tell me to preach. And I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them the reality of what it means after a very long journey. Don't miss that part. God didn't say, hey, I'm going to make it easy for you, buddy. I'm going to put you on a plane and I'm going to take you over there and I'm going to drop you out and you're going to be fine. It's going to be today you're going to be able to do it. No, it's going to be a hard walk. It's going to be a hard journey. And when you get there, you're probably going to be tired. But when you get there, I don't care if you're tired or not. I want you to preach what I tell you to preach and do what I tell you to do. Preach the words I give you, not your own. So in those very words, in 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. I feel like there should be more to that message. I feel like there should be more words that Jonah should have to say to the Ninevites, because why would the Ninevites turn from hearing just a few words? In 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. Cool. I got 39 days to hang out and wait. Thank you for giving me a timeline. It's so good because we don't have a timeline. But they were given a timeline here, 40 days, and here's what they did. They rested for 39 days in their filth and their shame and then turned. Nope. They didn't rest for 39 days in their shame. They what? The men of Nineveh believed in God. They proclaimed a fast and dressed in sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. It did not say that there was days that passed. It did not even say that there were hours that passed. It didn't say where their minutes were passed. It said now. It's happening. Don't want to miss an opportunity to preach the gospel when opportunity arises, because that is a far reality of what it means for us to be in Jesus Christ. See, too many of us want to clean up our messes. Too many of us want everything to be perfect before we can come and follow Jesus Christ. See, too many of us accept Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and then believe in the fire insurance, that the fire insurance is there and I'm perfect, I'm fine, even if I'm filthy in the way I talk, in the way that I slander, in the way that I gossip. Even if I'm filthy, I got my fire insurance. I'm good. No, turn. Not later. Turn now. I see the Ninevites, and I mentioned a little bit about the Ninevites last week, that they were a corrupt people. They were a people group, vicious people group. They were not only in idolatry, they were not only in sexual morality, they were not only in all this chaos in the world, but they also, anybody that wronged them, they cut off their hands, whatever, pulled them off, really is what they did. They cut off their heads, they burnt them alive. The smell of burnt flesh was all over this city, because they were just a ruthless people. And this ruthless people heard the message from the Lord that was simply, in 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown, and they crashed to their knees. How simple that message is. How simple it is for that message for our hearts to hear. Can we hear it? The Ninevites heard it even in their filth, even in their immorality, even in their burning bodies alive. And the smell of flesh all over this city, the Ninevites heard the word of the Lord because here's the simple phrase. So two simple phrases, simple message, a simple phrase. If you look in scripture, it says this, verse 5, the men of Nineveh believed in God, which leads us into our next fill in the blank, which is they responded. They responded, not later, not eventually, not in 39 days, now. Now, if we were to get teachy on you, you look at that word responded, it is an immediate action. It's not a later on. It's not someday. It's now. It's an immediate action that happens. That they put on sackcloth. They responded. They responded. The story of Jonah, such an appropriate story at our Thanksgiving time. As we look at this message, a fishy tale for a turkey day, think about it. You are getting ready to go into your family's home. There is zero chance that I am the only person of a family that there might be some messiness when you get there. Zero chance of that. Because I am certain that there are other people in our congregation right now that are going to go into their family's homes in just a week from now, stressed, heart pounding. What's going to happen? Hear the response of what it means to understand that God calls you. If we can see a people group of Ninevites who were vicious, vicious, turn of their hearts, why couldn't we? We are not a vicious people. We have our faults. We have our mistakes. The people that we're thinking of when we think of it, because it's not us, of course, it's somebody else's issues. Definitely not our fault. But their issues, when we look at them, are they a vicious, disgusting people? Sexual immorality? Burning people in the streets alive? If you can't say that, maybe there is hope. Maybe there's a repentance that is needed, and maybe there is a cautioning on your heart to say, I forgive them. Because that reality of what it means for the Ninevites to be that type of people group and turn other ways, and that we, a good people who are trying to serve the Lord, who can't turn our hearts from it, then that makes us no good. So let us not go into our families' homes and not have already responded to what God's calling you. God is not just calling me to make sure my heart's right before I go to my family's home. God is not calling me only to make sure my heart is good before I come before this pulpit. God is not only calling me only before I go and seek him in the scriptures. He's calling us as his people to make sure that our ways are right and our hearts have responded. See, the Ninevites responded. But again, never let a good piece of scripture go to waste to have an opportunity to preach the gospel. Because our hearts need to respond as well. Let's move on to the next fill in the blank. God responded. We look at God responding. That is verse 10. It's very simple, right? This is a very simple message from the Lord. So his response becomes simple. Then God saw their actions, that they had turned from their evil ways. So God relented from the disaster he had threatened to do to them. God is a very merciful, caring, graceful, full of forgiveness. He is all those things. And he calls us to be the same. He calls us to be the same type of people as him. Again, we see these Ninevites who deserved wrath. We see these Ninevites who absolutely deserved God's wrath. And what did God do? Showed mercy because their hearts responded. That's who God is. That's who our Father is. That's who our Lord is. That's who our King of Kings is. That is who he is. That he responds in such a way when our hearts respond directly towards him. God responds in a way of forgiveness, of grace, mercy. All those aspects without question. And he calls us as his people to do the same. Are we doing it? See, Jonah, in this next section we're going to go into, you can only imagine that he's sitting on the edge of the seat. In verse 10, we see how God responded to the Ninevites. The Ninevites that he didn't want to go to in the first place. Remember, he ran away to the furthest place he could go to. Well, tried to. Thrown in the water. Swallowed by a fish. And now he's listening to God's response. Because I'm sure he's like every human. You see that kind of viciousness, and all you want to do is see vengeance. I mean, justice. Not vengeance, right? Justice. We want to see justice. And until I see justice, may no one forgive or offer grace or offer compassion or offer anything to that evil people group. But that's exactly what God does. And you can imagine Jonah's contemplative heart going, pass? Hard pass on that? Well, let's just move into our next fill in the blank, and I think maybe we'll fill in some spots here. Jonah responded again. So we have a Jonah, a good prophet, man of God, who now responds to a God who is full of grace, full of love, full of mercy. After seeing a repentant heart, and here's Jonah's response. I think it's worth reading again. But Jonah was greatly displeased, and became furious. He prayed to the Lord, please, Lord, isn't this what I said while I was still in my own country? That's why I fled to Tarshish in the first place. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to become angry, rich in faithful love, and one who relents from sending disaster. And that's why I didn't want to come here, God. That's why I didn't want to come all this way. I knew you would show mercy on them, and I wanted justice. Far too often we fix our eyesight on vengeance rather than God's justice. That's why I'm using those slip of words on purpose. Far too often we fix our eyes on vengeance than justice. Make sure you hear that. That's why I'm repeating it multiple times. Far too often. But the reality is Jonah did respond. He gave God a response in true Jonah fashion. The reluctant Jonah steps out of his shell and says, God, I was compliant for now, but I cannot stand it anymore. How dare you be compassionate? How dare you be full of grace? How dare you offer forgiveness? See, Jonah, a complicated prophet, understands and understood what God was going to do. And Jonah believed that this people group was too far gone, too far to be brought back into God's good standing. But that's exactly what God did for the Ninevites, because their heart responded. And when your heart responds to the Lord, you get a response. When your heart responds to the Lord, it's not about what you see. It's about what the Lord sees. The Lord sees your heart and your mind and everything that you are. Jonah probably can't see a repentant heart. Jonah can't see a repentant mind. Jonah can't see a repentant person, because Jonah is not God. God is the only one that can see that and know that. And God gave mercy and grace. Jonah's full response should be, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord." But instead, he gives a great response to the Lord of saying, "How awful you are. Lord, you are so awful." Listen to this, verse 3. "And now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." How is that the answer from Jonah, a prophet, a man who knows the Lord? How is that the response? That, "Lord, how dare you give mercy and forgiveness, and then I just want to die." See, there are Ninevites all around us. And there are a lot of us that respond like Jonah. There are many of us that respond like Jonah, rather than responding like the Lord, which, as a Christian, is who we aspire to be like, to be more and more like Christ every day, but we act less and less like him every day. We get fall into our own pathway, our own ambitions, our own realities, and our own-ness, rather than trying to be likeness of the Christ. We try to do our own thing in our own way. The Ninevites needed Jonah to preach the message, in which he did. Good on you, Jonah. You get some credit for that. But Jonah's failure, his personal failure of not understanding who God truly is. He is merciful. He is full of grace. He is full of compassion. He is full of love, full of care. And he loves those that respond with a heart that seeks him. So when we look at Jonah, this section, chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, we see a Jonah who is reluctant to go to preach to a people group, reluctant to go preach the message that needs to be said, not because it's going to be hard. You hear that? He didn't say it's because it's going to be hard. He didn't say, "Lord, because it's so far away, I don't want to go. Hey, Lord, I got to take care of my farm. I'm sorry. I'm too busy." He didn't give any of those excuses. He just said, "Well, the reason I fled, Lord, is because I knew you'd be compassionate. I knew you'd be forgiving. And I wanted vengeance on this people who are ruthless. Let's lean into our wrap-up slide here. A little something for you here. A couple good reminders. Don't be reluctant Jonas. Don't be reluctant Jonas. There are Ninevites out there waiting to respond. Today I was watching a news channel that actually was showed a Billy Graham, old school Billy Graham message. And one, I thought that was really neat that that's happening. But his whole message, his entire life, was that there's people out there waiting to respond right now. You just get to give them the invitation. There are Ninevites out there right now waiting to respond. Are you heeding God's call? Preach the message of turn of your ways, have a repentant heart, and seek the Lord. Because here's what reluctant Jonahs do. Again, I'm not saying you're a reluctant Jonah. I'm saying there are reluctant Jonahs out there somewhere beyond this pulpit into the far future. Reluctant Jonahs deny God's due honor by not preaching to the lost. God's honor is to reach all of his people. And everyone is his people. It's just a lot don't respond. There's also an important factor that we have to have, which is that we have to preach the gospel. We don't get to choose the people group we go to. We don't get to choose whether we want to or not. We don't get to choose whether we like them or not. Our responsibility is to preach the gospel always. A nice reference verse you can write down, you can turn to if you want to, but it's Romans 10:14. Romans 10:14 says this, but how can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? I am not your only preacher in your congregation. I am not the only evangelist in your congregation. I can go back to the last year's spiritual assessments we did and tell you that for sure and for certain. We are all evangelists and preachers of our own right in some fashion. Are you hearing God's call to do so? I have two fill-in-the-blanks for you. This one is, if you are praying for someone, don't give up. That Ninevite that you're praying for, and you know, I probably wouldn't call them a Ninevite to their face. But that Ninevite you're praying for, man, just right there. Just right there. If you give up, chances are they'll give up too. Don't give up. And your last fill in the blank, not the least, be grateful that someone told you. We didn't just wander into church. I mean, some of our younger kids just wandered into church and they just kind of grew up in church and the message they heard on their hearts is just because they were here. But you as parents, you as grandparents, maybe even you yourself heard the message from somebody. Are you grateful enough for that message to preach to others? That wraps up our sermon today for the reluctant Jonah. Don't be a reluctant Jonah. Now, next week, I'd love to tell you that Jonah was absolutely compliant. He was an amazing prophet and never got ridiculous again. But that's exactly what our sermon is next week. The ridiculous Jonah. Let us close in prayer. Father, thank you for who you are. Father, we are grateful for the way that you have encouraged our hearts through worship. We are grateful for the way that you have led and guide your pastoral interns to not only allow us to hear the announcements, but also the prayer that each of them offer to our service. Father, I'm grateful for your message and that may it always be your message and never my own. May your people always hear your words and never mine. Father, may I be your vessel that you have filled and that you pour out. Father, may your people not be reluctant Jonahs. Father, I know your people here at Banner, and I know that you have a faithful bunch of people. May our hearts never be reluctant. May we always turn towards you. And when you call us in the night, may our answer always be, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Say this in Jesus' name, and all your people said, amen.